Brighton Festival 2017. All of the news, reviews, and what not to miss at Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.
Choreographer Theo Klinkhard premiered his dance piece With a Difference, This Bright Field. It's coming up at the Brighton Festival on Thursday. And now I say it's With a Difference because it's divided into two very different parts. And Theo joins us now. Thanks for coming on Radio Reverb.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
So tell us about these two parts.
Yeah, so the life of this piece started about 4 years ago when an organisation in Nottingham, Dance 4, charged me with making a dance piece for the larger dance stage. And I was trying to think about how I could do it differently. And the last piece that I'd made was very much an intimate work for an audience of 60. So I got really into this proximate audience and being able to play with detail and tone and texture and kinds of performance. And I was just trying to see how I could work that into something which was going to be end on, seen from the auditorium. So the idea is that in the first part, the audience are on stage and they get to be literally as close as we are right now with the performers and kind of get to know them. So there's a kind of familiarity which is created so that in the second part, you might look at this group from a distance through the lens of the individual.
That sounds a little bit daunting to me to be an audience member doing that. I'm sure as a performer, it's not. It's just kind of natural. But
I think the performers might be a bit more daunted by the thought of people like you walking up and staring at them later.
Thank you.
Well, we're doing our very best to make that first part really warm. So all the decisions about the sound and the invite, if you like, there's also soft cushions now, so you should feel very welcome. So it kind of builds an inviting space for the audience.
You've talked about the piece examining the objective and the subjective gaze. Mm-hmm. This positions the audience in a very different way to what we're accustomed to. And how do you want to sort of break that apart and that whole idea of, you know, the audience just as the passive onlooker?
I think there's something about, if I think about reviews of performance, I think often you get this kind of like written in absolutes, like the work was this, it was that. And I think what's often not highlighted or framed enough is that that's a particular subjective viewpoint. So I think I keep trying to make work now where I'm really highlighting that. So no audience member is going to have the same experience of the first part. The dancers have a series of stage flats, so they are carving and editing your experience. So literally there might be a kind of private dance that's almost just performed for you. It's not daunting and it's not sexual. just say, you private dancer.
You'll have disappointed some people there.
So they are kind of editing and they have agency, if you like. So they have this kind of license to make decisions. It's improvised, the first part. So they're very much conducting it. It's seemingly not got an author, this first part. And the second part is very much me very clearly making kind of social or choreographic conditions on the group. So you're seeing them working under or within conditions. And I think there's a kind of level of gentle political commentary going on there.
I'm wondering then if this is kind of, you're interpreting it in your own way because you'll see it differently as an audience member. Is this meant to be an uplifting experience, a challenge? Is it fun? Is it not fun?
I normally make...
I need a box to put this
in. I know.
The fun box.
I'm normally absolute fun box person. And the last piece I made, which was actually at the concert hall in the Dome, was for a Cuban company, Danza Contemporánea de Cuba. And it was absolutely a celebration by the end. And then through this last year, I've been kind of like, this is not a time necessarily for catharsis. It's a time of coming together, mobilizing, empowerment. And I was thinking, oh, maybe I need to challenge this idea that dance work needs to end with resolve and resolution. Mm-hmm. So for this one, I've really been kind of going, without it being aggressive, what is it to kind of unite, come together with all of that difference, with all of that kind of personal, independent viewpoint for the audience and the performers inside of it? What is it like to come together with that diversity and to have a kind of mobilized call to arms, if you like? And it's funny that this last week I've spent the whole time on social media getting young people to vote. And I suddenly made this connection with my work. I was like, oh my God, it's kind of somehow related, this kind of will or wish to mobilize at the moment.
It's also an interesting concept in terms of when you watch a dance piece, normally you're looking at the dance piece as a whole. You will pick out individual performers, but you'll see the piece as a whole. And I guess with this one, people will be looking at their, if you like, their own dancer that they worked with predominantly.
Absolutely. And I think that there's many ways to make work, but what doesn't interest me is putting myself at the center of the piece and thinking of, I always use this analogy of an onion. So I don't think of the dancers as layers of myself and versions of me. I'm trying to tap into what makes them move and what makes them different. The idea being that that's going to create more connections with different kinds of audience members, with who they relate to, even just on an energetic level. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, more connections between performers and audience. And I just stand outside and I think of myself like a host, if you like.
I've been looking at the videos for this and it looks absolutely visually stunning. I mean, the costumes and the sound appear to be as much stars of the show as the performers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I don't necessarily make theatrical work, but I really enjoy playing with these different elements. And I'm not a trained designer, but I have been working for 15 years in opera and theatre and live art and dance as a designer. And then also I work with this great composer, James Keane, who is from Brighton.
He's,
Brighton's own. And he's actually got his 14-year-old son, who's a Dorothy Stringer student, Archie Keane. Big shout out to Archie Keane. So Archie is singing this beautiful, it's a little bit like Sigur Rós or Jonsi,
wow,
you know, this
yeah.
kind of very
oh,
delicate sound.
Love that.
She's a massive fan of Jonsi. Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got that kind of tone, kind of something very delicate, which, I don't know, taps into some emotional landscape.
And James has a link to the hum as well, doesn't
exactly.
James?
Exactly. So he worked with Nick Sanderland and kind of developed a kind of sound world which supports the text, as I understand it.
Exactly, yeah.
Dance is still a medium that people do shy away from, and you know, this is a theme that I've kind of referred to, you know, as too difficult. I mean, for me personally, I got into dance in the 80s with people like Extemporary Dance and Lloyd Newsome, Nigel Charnock, who actually explored queer culture through dance. And they used a lot of music from bands like Wire, so kind of your sort of punk rock ethos. And then, of course, Michael Clarke came through and later and became the enfant terrible of contemporary dance. Are you inspired by people like that in your work?
I actually teach Michael Clarke Company and I teach Deviate as well, Lloyd Newsome's company.
Right.
So I have quite a lot of contact over the last few years with those companies. I think what's important is that the work that is made is reflective of its time. And I think it's interesting you point out those people because they were working through the 80s when there was a lot of dissent and a lot of confusion.
And response to AIDS in their work as well.
Absolutely, really direct. And I think that, I mean, I choose to make, well, I guess Michael makes movement-led work. I also kind of deal with the body in motion rather than creating a theatrical narrative. But I do want to be looking, increasingly I'm looking politically at how, you know, what information there is even in the simplest thing. You know, that there's already political information with how someone enters the stage, what are the music doing, are they doing the same action at the same point? There's kind of gentle politics. So I guess I'm not making a kind of absolute comment, but I'm aware that the decisions that I do make already have political information in them. So I'm kind of getting wiser to that by the day.
So you are based in Brighton, hurrah. Does that feed into your work at all?
I'm in Peacehaven.
Does Peacehaven feed into your work at all?
Not a question. You ask very often.
I know. I live somewhere which just really lets me kind of totally drop down and chill out, actually, because I'm often working and travelling around different countries, mostly around Europe. So the place that I choose to live is really about kind of stopping. But actually, I do live like right on the cliff edge. And the last piece I made was a solo, well, a duet with James, the composer, about the chalk cliff where I live. So that was a lot more, the landscape was really affecting me then. And this work is a little bit different, I suppose.
I guess that was a yes, wasn't it?
Well done.
You've been named as an associate artist at Brighton Dome and Brighton Festival.
Wow.
I haven't got a clue what that means, but I guess you have.
I think it's a strong and stable position.
Hey!
Oh, no.
I had to try and get it in somehow. Yeah, so I think it's still to be kind of worked out. This is a very new relationship and it's kind of being launched with this performance. So over the next few years, as they develop the building, I guess I'll be invited in to kind of take part in those conversations about how that can be developed. And also they would be helping me develop my new work. So I don't quite know what's next after this work. It's all been so intense getting this ready, but I'm so delighted to have this relationship with a venue where they can actually support you with technical time, and they're a really nice team. I love them.
So the Brightfield premieres on Thursday at the Dome. Still tickets left?
There are still tickets left, but get booking because this is early slots through the kind of late afternoon for the first part, and then the second part I think starts at 8 p.m.
Fantastic. Well, Theo Klinkhardt, thank you very much for joining us, and good luck with your career as a strong and stable associate artist and Brighton Dome Festival.
I'm happily weak and wobbly.
Thanks very much for joining us on Radio Reverb. Cheers.
Brighton Festival 2017. Radio Reverb, the only station on air with a dedicated Brighton Festival hour.